Good afternoon. I'm Jason Parrott, and this is Emphasis. Joining us this afternoon is Jim Platt, who is the CEO of Fort Madison Community Hospital. Jim, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
This afternoon, we are looking at Fort Madison Hospital, and there is a reason for that, an anniversary, 25th anniversary at this site in western Fort Madison. Jim, what is it like to have seen this complex grow throughout the years?
Well, it's been very enlightening to see how the people of Fort Madison and our surrounding community have come to us in terms of their health care needs. When we relocated out here 25 years ago, our facility was built based on the utilization from 1984 into 1985. Since that time, we've seen phenomenal growth, especially in the outpatient areas, but including the emergency room. We used to average about 5,000 visits a year in our emergency room, and our emergency room was built along those lines. And when I started 19 years ago, the first thing we had to do was expand it because we were upwards of 14,000 visits a year. And a lot of that is directly related to our recruitment of physicians. We've been very, very fortunate. Almost every addition that we've made in the 25 years is a direct result of the growth in the number of physicians and the different specialties that we have here.
How do you go about recruiting physicians? Obviously, if you're going to expand a portion, you got to bring in the doctors, the professionals to be a part of that. How do you get them to come to rural Iowa?
To be very honest, back in 1995, the board and a couple members of our medical staff, at that point in time, that's about all we had. But we went away for a planning retreat, and we sat down and looked at where healthcare was going and said, we need to make some adjustments here. Our medical staff was aging in place. There was not a lot of choice for the people in the community, and so they were looking outwards to get their healthcare needs. And so the board had the foresight to say, we need to start providing the service that our physicians need and want. So we entertained some individuals who were in medical school and asked them what they look for in terms of looking at a community where they want to practice. And the first thing that they said was, we can't afford to go out and start our own practice anymore. The cost is too much. The regulations are phenomenal. The staff we'd have to put in place to start a practice, it's just not cost efficient. So they turned to us and said, if you would employ us and provide us the resources that we need to do our job, we'd be very happy to come work for you. And that has been a very successful endeavor, including a number of additions, two clinic additions, expanded surgery, and now bringing in state-of-the-art MRI and CT scanning, just to meet the needs of the people that we serve.
How is it determined what is the next expansion step? I mean, throughout the years, you've had urgent care, you've had the administrative building. How is it decided when the time comes to grow, I guess you would say?
We do a lot of different processes to ensure quality here, such as we have developed a lean concept, the old Toyota, be as efficient as you can be. In many cases, our facility originally built was built for utilization much less than what it is today. Our inpatient unit has withstood, we were a 125-bed hospital in the old hospital. We scaled it back to 50 beds, and those were semi-private and private. People said, if we're sick, we don't want to have a roommate. We want to do it. If we're going to be sick, we want to be with our friends and family, not with strangers. So our board listened, and about 10 years ago, we did an expansion to have all private rooms at our facility, one of the first in Iowa that was all private rooms. And it just seems like the community and our board identify a need. We have good feedback from members of our community. They give good feedback to our board. Our board brings ideas to us. I have a wonderful leadership team that brings ideas to us. And we look at numbers, both from a staffing standpoint, do we need more staff? Do we need more physicians? Do we need more space? The one thing that through the old state certificate of need program, they approved a facility that was originally going to be designed for 75 beds. In their infinite wisdom, they said, no, it should be 50 beds, and here's how much it should cost. And within 5 years, we were back on the table saying, we need to grow. And so a lot of what we've had to expand were in the original plans way back in the 80s. But because of the cost consciousness of the state at that time, they said, no, this makes more sense from a demographic standpoint. What they didn't take into consideration was we are able to recruit excellent physicians here. We are able to recruit excellent specialists here. And we're able to recruit the best technology that's made today in Fort Madison, Iowa. And that's how we identify what the next step is.
So right now we're looking at 50 private rooms. You have basically this is a 50-bed complex. Is that right?
That's correct.
It would almost seem low. Do you run into times where you're pushing that number? I mean, for someone to think this is a town of 10,000, you've got all these surrounding communities, to have just 50 beds, is that an issue?
Healthcare's changed. It started changing in the 70s and in the 80s and 90s. Hillary Clinton obviously proposed the Hillary Plan, which was to keep people out of hospitals. Insurance companies will do their best to steer patients from the inpatient costly setting into an outpatient setting. But what we found is to provide that high quality care in a lower length of stay means we need to throw a lot of resources at it early on. And so 50 beds are more than adequate for us today. We have to do some juggling around in terms of how many med-surg beds we have versus how many OB beds we have, but we can adjust that within our license scope. So that's not an issue for us. There's excellent facilities to the north and south of us with beds. They have more than an adequate number of beds themselves. So from a bed standpoint, with the healthcare changing to the concept of we can do it better and in a shorter length of time, beds are adequate.
There's so many different expansions we can talk about over the 25 years. Looking at the most recent, I believe it's on the north, if my directions are correct, the northeast corner, more of a rehabilitation focus. Am I looking at the right area?
Well, you're really looking at two areas. 2 years ago, we spent about $4 million and added a new rehabilitation center. And then the old space that they were in, that was like 2,500 square feet, and the space they're in now that they share with orthopedics and a walking trail is 25,000. So that just tells you the growth that we have had in rehabilitation medicine. We're very fortunate. When we moved to the northeast corner here with our rehab unit, that provided us a lot of opportunities in that 2,500 square foot space to promote inpatient rehab, to move our cardiopulmonary area into that, our cardiac rehab into that area. And most important, for years, the one thing the hospital wanted to have and did not have the space was a chapel. And through the generosity of our foundation, they provided the funds for us to create a small chapel right in the middle of our hospital for not just our patients and their families, but also for our staff. When our staff have had a really rough time dealing with a sick patient, they're able to take 5 minutes and get away and collect their thoughts without being under the microscope. And I think our chapel, just I can't say enough about the foresight of our board in knowing what we need and when to do it.
One thing that gets talked about a lot with other in this area hospitals is the financial challenges. How is Fort Madison Community Hospital in this regard? Are kind of, I guess, the outlook of the facility?
Well, we're kind of an anomaly because we've done very well. Last year was one of our best years ever financially. The one thing that I've always said, and I have pride in our leaders and our board, is that if we're thrown a challenge, we respond to the challenge. We don't let the regulations put us down. We figure out how to manage with what we have. It's like being a good steward at home. You get so much money, you spend so much, and you got to have money set aside to do the things that we do to recruit our physicians, to recruit good staff, and to keep good staff, and to take good care of them, but also to have excellent facilities. So if we're given a dollar, then we have to find a way to live within that dollar. And I can't say enough about my leaders. They do an outstanding job of understanding there's only so much in the pocket. That's all you have. You got to find the best way to do it. And our priorities are always what's for the good of our patients and the communities that we serve.
What's the biggest challenge or challenges facing this hospital right now?
I would say keeping up with all the regulations. Last I heard, there's over 180,000 pages, not 180,000 regulations, but 180,000 pages of regulations that we're required to keep up with. For some reason, in healthcare, and we still have a lot of human interventions, but if a billing clerk inadvertently makes an error, in healthcare, that's considered fraud. In most other industries, it's a mistake. But in healthcare, it's fraud. So we do our best to check, double check, and triple check everything that we do so that we stay current. There's not a person here that wants to do wrong. Every person here wants to do the best they can to take care of the patients and their families who come to us for care. And we strive to do that. And I'm very proud of our staff. I'm very proud of our physicians because I feel we have the best of both worlds.
How challenging is it right now dealing with waiting for regulations from Washington, and at the same time, Des Moines is debating the governor's health care plan versus a Medicaid expansion? As a hospital here, how do you deal with being in the middle of these two forces, I guess you would say?
The one thing I will say, I've been in my career since I was 18 years old, and the one thing I can honestly say is you can count on the government never being quick in making a decision. We rely a lot on our associations. The Iowa Hospital Association is a wonderful organization that keeps abreast of everything going on. So we take baby steps many times, especially as it pertains to health reform. A lot of these laws that were put into place for Obamacare do not take effect until next year, but we have a lot of things in place. For instance, integrated care. We've been employing our physicians since the 90s. So when we bill for service, it's one organization issuing a bill. We're all part of the same team. And so we've already met a lot of the intent of those regulations. From a quality standpoint, we are all over it. I mean, we monitor quality on a daily basis with everything that we do here. We have our evidence-based medicine. We have clinical protocols. We try to stay abreast of all the current changes and all the current regulations. And in fact, last year, under the new value-based purchasing that the federal government passed, we were one of the organizations that got the full benefit of those dollars, and I'm very proud with that. So how do you balance all the different things? Many times it's just trying to stay abreast of them and reacting once they're passed. We can anticipate going so far, but then you have to sit back and say, what's the most realistic here? And with the Obama plan or the state governor's plan, they are at odds. The one plan is totally funded by the federal government. The other plan is totally funded by the state. And there's pluses and minuses of both. If you believe in smaller government and want to follow Branstad's plans, that's fine, except that's $200 million now the state taxpayer is going to have to pay. If you follow the Obama plan, and we as a healthcare industry do support the Medicaid expansion. And the reason we support it is twofold. Number one, it funds mental health services, which are severely underfunded in the state of Iowa. And number two, it allows hospitals throughout the state of Iowa to take care of those Medicaid patients who right now under Iowa Care goes to one of a very few number of facilities. So if they come into our emergency room and we treat them, we do not get paid. We're supposed to send them to the University of Iowa for care that could easily be performed here. So that's the difference in the two plans, and that's why we wholeheartedly support Medicaid expansion.
Jim, as I look at my clock here, we have run out of time, even though I have many more questions we can talk about. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
That was Jim Platt. He is the CEO of Fort Madison Community Hospital. For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Jason Parrott.